Hey everybody, thanks for tuning in.
We really appreciate all the support that we're getting for all of the listeners, and then of course everyone who's following us on social media. Whoa, we are getting followed.
Oh my goodness. I don't know how you, I know our TikTokers. Like, did you see?
Mm-hmm.
Yes, we can actually go live on TikTok now. So we'll prepare for that eventually.
Yes. Amongst all the other things we got to do.
Right.
Throw that into our list of things that need to get done. We are actually coming to you with an episode that, just a warning, it's going to be a tough topic for some people. So listener advisory, that this episode does pertain to sexual abuse, and it's a tough one. So if you think this might be, if you would be severely or even slightly affected by this topic, then we would just kind of urge you to maybe skip it. Because it could be triggering for some people. So we just wanted to throw that out there before we start to discuss it, because it can be triggering and we want to be conscious of the fact that it can be, and give you a heads up. Yeah. So we want to talk about an abuse of power. An abuse of influence when it comes to those who have influence over children, influence over possibly their parents. When I say parents, there's a lot of folks that seem to be of influence and in positions of authority that somehow are able to gain access to our children and abuse our children. And it makes me angry. And I don't know if you can hear it in my tone, but our children are our most precious gifts. And for anyone to take liberties or take advantage of the most innocent people that we can encounter is disgusting.
Absolutely.
It's terrifying, it's disgusting, and it's horrible. And yeah, so Mr. Camilo Hurtado Campos, he was arrested throughout this week, and he was arrested for abusing a boy. The backstory is he left a phone in a restaurant. Restaurant workers, in an effort to locate the owner of the phone, opened the phone, where they encountered several videos and pictures of him taking liberties with children, unconscious children. We're not just making this shit up. This is what's being reported on the Associated Press, CNN, even some of the local news pastors in Tennessee, because it's in Franklin, Tennessee. As the police investigated, they later found hundreds of videos and pictures where he even recorded himself raping unconscious boys between the age of 9 and 17. So if I sound angry, that would be why. He was a soccer coach, and it's clear to me that he took the power that he had in being able to influence these young lives and did things that were just horrible and disgusting. We thought it was important to bring this episode out because we are all parents, and as parents we have to be careful in who we let have access to our kids, even people we know. Okay, so let this be a public service announcement. Now, we want to be able to trust the folks that we introduce our kids to, but that's not always the case. So let's be careful on who and how we let grown men or women have access to our kids where something like this can happen. This is not okay.
It is definitely not okay. It's sad, especially because their abuse of power, they are considered trusted or should be considered trusted people in a community. And it's terrifying. It's terrifying for our kids, and it should be terrifying, and probably definitely is terrifying for these parents. I know me as a parent, it makes me very angry. It makes me angry because you're taking advantage of innocent kids. You're taking advantage of trusting parents. And it's disgusting. It's just absolutely disgusting. It's horrible. I just can't even think of another word other than absolutely disgusting to do that to innocent children, to parents that have trusted you, people in the community who trust you, in what you say and who you say you are. As a parent, I'm always skeptical anyway, but that's because that's what my personal experience led me to. So that's why I'm definitely mistrusting, regardless of who it is. I don't care who you say you is. I'm still cautious, extra cautious when it comes to my kids. My kids will tell you, they didn't spend the night over people's house. Now, they had company. They definitely had company from time to time, and they had sleepovers. But my kids going to spend the night somewhere else, they can tell you. No. And even, and I'm sorry to say it, even family members, I'm funny. It has to be somebody that I know, without a shadow of a doubt. And even people that you think you know without a shadow of a doubt, I'm still cautious.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. I have a problem with this because, you know, for the obvious reason, you know, there's a lot of things that we individually, as sisters, we experienced, whether if it was personal experience is, or even experiences of the friends in our circle coming up. And one common denominator is that it was always, when it came to sexual abuse and molestation, it was someone that you knew. It was more rare for it to be a random act, but it was always by someone that they knew. Mm-hmm. And you just keep hearing these stories. You hear this one story of many, unfortunately. That's the unfortunate, because this is one story of many, because you have a soccer coach. But the same thing happened about 10 years ago. There were all these allegations coming out. I think either within, the names aren't coming to me, but with a football coach or a basketball coach, one of those two. The Boy Scouts.
Mm-hmm.
Even in Pennsylvania, there was a recent additional people were arrested the first week of July for abusing children. So this is not something new, and it's unfortunate to say it, but as parents, can we be better at protecting our kids? And I know sometimes it's easier to rely on trust with the people in our circle. But all of these people trusted this soccer coach. All of these people trusted, you know, some of these pastors in the church, or the priests in the church, or even their Boy Scout leaders. So it's nice to be able to trust, but you have to look at people with not for nothing, give them the side eye when it comes to your kids. I have a very small circle. I have a very small circle, and we do not do sleepovers. Okay. I had someone ask, hey, can we do a sleepover? I'm like, no, we do not do that. And even though this child was disappointed, I'm like, no, it ain't going to happen. There's very few people that we will entertain the idea of having a sleepover. Very few people. And it's just sad. It's sad that the people that we're supposed to protect the most are being taken advantage of in such a horrible way. Things like these type of things are life changing. They alter who you are and how you move through life. And what's striking to me is, why do we keep hearing this repeated pattern and these stories, and yet the shit still keeps happening? Why? I don't get it.
Well, it changes who that person is. It changes their DNA, how that person looks at things for the rest of their life. It really does impact them, and all the therapy in the world, it does help. It's definitely necessary in situations like that. Heck, sometimes you don't even have to have situations like that, and it's still necessary to have some therapy. But it's so unfortunate for these children. It's unfortunate for the parents. And I feel like, I mean, I hate to say it, and I hate to be harsh with it, but there is some level of responsibility when it comes to the parents. And I'm not saying that they're at fault. No, they're victims too. They absolutely are. This happened to their kids. And I know they are probably in their mind already feeling guilty, like they trusted this person. But when it comes to these kids, when it comes to something that valuable, because these children are the future and they are most valuable, their future relies on choices that we make. And we've definitely discussed this in previous stuff. You know, you have to be more careful. I can trust you. You know, I asked somebody not that long ago, it was a question, and I asked him, I was like, what does it take for you to trust somebody? And this person was like, oh, well, their actions, which is so factual, you know, their actions, but people can definitely play a role even in their actions. But in my mind, I trust you with certain things. And my kids ain't one of those things. It's just not. I can't. And partially because I do know better. And it's sad that some of these parents did not know better. I mean, it's good that they never had to know maybe some of the things that I've known or I've seen other people know growing up. So maybe they didn't see that coming. And it's unfortunate for their kids, you know, because they didn't know. So sometimes if you don't know, you just don't know. I mean, I know, you definitely know. You know, I know some people in my surrounding circles, like they know better. Like if I trust you with my kid, that means I trust you wholehearted 100%.
I think it's unwise to be naive in this day and age. Mm-hmm. When we were coming up, it was a little bit different, right? Because we had a lot of, maybe, I don't know if it's the same for you, but I feel like we had a lot of free range. So it's like that show on Netflix that we're not plugging no ads here, but it's like these kids, they're doing whatever throughout the days and nights, and their parents have no fucking clue what they're doing.
That commercial, do you know where your children are?
But we had a lot of free range. And like we would be running the streets at all hours, but with very little parental supervision. We weren't doing anything bad. We were just out there like playing and stuff like that and doing what kids do, but we had a lot of free range. But nowadays, hell no.
What was crazy is that even then, it probably wasn't the smartest. I mean, really, really, really think about it. because then they had kidnappings. But you know what I did? You know what I do see a little bit of a difference with when we were growing up and children now? Is that when I was growing up, I remember, even though we had some of those freedoms, Tanya, I still feel like they really invested in making us know better. And what I mean by that is, like, they would tell you what to do as far as if you felt in danger of being kidnapped. They would tell you precautionary measures that you can take. And those are some of the things that I teach my kids to this day. Like, if they're in a car, turn around and go the opposite way, to never yell help, to yell fire. Like, those are things that I still teach my children. I feel like, I don't know if they implement those same type of things like they did, if, like the commercials, like I just said, you know, hey, it's 12 o'clock. Do you know where your kids are? They don't really do that like that. I feel like they don't have those same maybe programs that they did, that they once did. They really did take time. I don't know if they still do that. I mean, I don't, when I talk to my kids, I don't know if they have police officers that come to the school and take time to explain these things like they did when we were younger. Because when we were younger, I remember them coming to talk to us about drugs, coming to talk to us about kidnapping and safe things and bad, you know, the no touches and the good, like these are things that I really do remember. Not just learning in school, but learning in my household. So I really think that sometimes it's because we have gotten too comfortable, or some people have gotten too comfortable, like, oh, no, it's okay. No, it's not okay. The same stuff that was going on 10 years ago, 20 years ago, is still going on now. But you can't get too relaxed. You can't realize that it ain't out there. You can't tell your kids that everybody is their friends. As a matter of fact, teach them just the opposite. I'm sorry. It is what it is.
Not every adult.
Not right. Not every adult. Not every police officer. And my kids know this. My kids know this. And I know you. I know you teach yours this as well. But you know, just because they a cop, that don't mean they're to be trusted. Just because they are a teacher, that does not mean they are to be trusted. And it's sad that that's what we have to teach these young people, but that's the reality. And reality is what's going to keep them kids safe.
Do you think that some parents are asleep at the wheel? Like, they're just trying to get through life. Like, they're just trying to do life. And sometimes life is hard. But is it, like, I wonder if sometimes we are, as parents, we could be asleep at the wheel because we're just too busy trying to do life that we're missing important things.
That is so profound. And it's so factual. Like, that is very true. But then we also have to, as parents, to take a step back. And I'm not saying that that we don't fail and that we don't make mistakes along the way. Like, I definitely can see the difference in my older kids and my younger kids. So I'm not saying that, but I am definitely agreeing that sometimes we can let everything else, because there is a lot. And we can let it take precedence to where we are missing things. Like, there's signs. There's definitely signs when it comes to if your child is being abused or sexually abused. There's signs, but sometimes we can, as human, as adults that are raising the kids and working and doing this and doing that, and that maybe is, that definitely is a possibility that we get so carried away with everything that we miss it. And that's so profound. That's that. That was such. That was a good one. I got. That was good.
And I can see how it would be kind of not easy, but maybe there might be a sense of relief, right? Because sometimes parents, we just tired, right? Because we just tired. That's parenting. Hashtag parent life, mom life, dad life. Hashtag dad life. That's it, you know, parenting is not easy. But I could see how maybe for maybe some parents, it would feel you get a sense of relief, like, okay, there's someone else invested in this child or in their success. And oh my gosh, I get a break tonight. These kids are off doing whatever they're doing with soccer and I get a break. So please don't think that I don't understand those things. Every parent understands this. Sometimes we need a break, but that's not, you know, that ain't parenting.
Right.
It's certainly, that break certainly isn't worth what some of these kids experience. You know, they're just trying to go play some soccer. Okay.
Right.
And then the sad part is like some of these kids may not even have realized it happened because the children were unconscious, which likely means that he drove these children, which is, yeah. But I hate, like, I understand, like, parenting is hard. Like, it's a thankless job sometimes. Right. So, you deserve as a parent.
Right.
So we get it. Okay. But it's not worth it. You know, this man, he took like, and I'm saying this mildly because I haven't, like, I can't, it's hard to put words to it because he took indecent liberties with these children. Some of them who probably don't even know that it happened because they were unconscious. I cannot. There's a special place in hell for someone.
Please and thank you. And I know I have to laugh at stuff, but if I have never wanted it to be a hell, that would definitely be like, hey, Lord, I hope this hell place is for real because this person right here, they so deserve it. And
I think someone like that should be castrated.
Me personally, I'm not speaking for anybody else, but me personally, you know, you want to look at it as you have to be forgiving. You want to look at it like, I have to be forgiving. I have to be forgiving because that's what God calls us to do. And these situations right here, oh my, that is so challenging. And I can speak from experience how challenging it is.
I'm like on the fence when it comes to like religion. And because we were talking on Friday and I said, there are moments when I'm like, I know I can feel this, whatever in all my being, like you can receive messages from, like, you were meant to hear, and it wasn't supposed to come from me. It was coming through someone else and using me as a channel. Or I've been on the receiving end of it. But it's hard to hold on to faith when you have predators like this, because that's what this person is. He's a predator. And then also, like, let me just put it out there. Like, there are people who are of the faith who also take advantage of children.
Mm-hmm.
Let me not say faith. Maybe it's the organized religion piece of it. I don't really know. I can't put that into words. But you see it there too. You know, this is just one instance. It's, you know, soccer coach. But how many times have we heard that within the church, and not just one particular faith?
Right.
The church, the Catholic church, La Luz del Mundo Church for sure, Jehovah's Witness. I mean, there's all these different levels of Christianity, and you're hearing it, like there's this, it happens not just in one, you know, one version of Christianity. And it's horrifying. So how do you hold, like, how do you hold on to faith when it is someone from the faith? Because that's like, that's a mind fuck if I ever had one or ever seen one.
Because, and I think we have in previous recordings, or just maybe in just our previous recording, we have definitely discussed that sometimes people are believing in the person with the message. I remember having a conversation with somebody who said they did not really believe, and they grew up in the church, and they said that they don't really believe. And they said that they really don't believe because they look at some of the things that, like this, that take place, some of the things that take place, some of the pastors that do stuff like this, or ones that are in it for financial gain, and it makes it hard for them to believe. And I believe in some of those cases, it's because they're looking at that person and not really to God. Man is gonna fail. A man will let you down. A man will fail you. But God does not. And sometimes we see stuff that happen and we're like, yo, God, where was you? Mm-hmm. And I can speak to that personally. Like, I've had things that have happened to me, and I'm not really for sure how transparent I want to be as far as that is concerned, but there are things that have happened to me, and I'm like, yo, God, where was you when this was taking place? And I really feel like that is the intent behind it. And what I mean by that is, if you believe that there is a God and that there are angels, you have to know that there is a Satan and there are demons. And a lot of times when we're looking at things, we're looking at things in the physical, but sometimes it's a fight in the spiritual. And that's what Satan comes to do. That's what his plan is, to kill and destroy. And if he can make you not believe, then he wins. Because now you don't have faith. Now you don't believe, because whatever he has concocted has made you lose sight of everything else. Yeah, if he can convince you that he doesn't exist, if he can convince you that God doesn't exist, he's won. And he uses people to do these things. These people probably don't even realize they're being used. And it speaks to something that I was going to bring up earlier, but I didn't want to, you know, overtalk you. So I just kind of jotted it down. But there's mental illness here. Mm. There, no normal person can look at a child. You can't tell me. You cannot tell me there's not something missing there. There's some type of disconnect. There's something going on with you mentally and spiritually for you to look at a child. Like, it's hard for me to look at a young dude trying to holler at me. I'd be like, what?
A cougar?
Like, listen here, boy. Let me tell you, I probably got clothes in my closet older than your ass. Go on now. Go ahead now. I'm just saying. Like, it has to be something going on there.
That's fair. Okay, that's fair. I don't get it, but that's fair. Who's right? There would have to be something missing for you to even entertain it. I was watching a movie recently, and you know, they were talking, and it's all related, but they were talking, it's based on a true story, and they were talking about how, like, the sex business is a big business, and there's a lot of that stuff going on right here. So, like, human trafficking is a thing. You know, I'm not a conspiracy theorist, let me just say that right now, okay? But that shit happens, okay? It fucking happens. But that business wouldn't be there if there wasn't a need for it. You know what I'm saying? So, like, there's all these people who are just mentally ill walking around with all these, like, with these thoughts, and then they actually are acting on it? Like, is that all? Like, that cannot.
Okay. Is that? Okay, so with that being said, I'm not trying to cut you off, but that's the key word. Is acting on it. That's where there has to be a disconnect. We think a lot of things. There hasn't been a time where I can be like, it hasn't been a time where, I'll take me for example. There have been times where you think, oh, you know what? I really want to tell this person exactly what the hell I think of them. But are you really going to act on that? No. And that's where I feel the disconnect is. That's where the you don't know better. That's where the mental, like, you really let your mind and your emotions pull you to that point where you didn't control yourself. You acted on that. Like, you really, and I'm not, I mean, I don't think anything perverted per se, but I'm just talking about in general. There's a lot of things that we think as human when people make us mad, that we think, but we don't act on it. And just to even think certain things, I'm like, there has to be a problem that you even think that, whether you act on it or not. Just to think that, that's what's in your mind.
Like, right, of all the things that you could be thinking of.
Right. Like, you're not thinking about cussing your boss out. You're not you're not thinking about giving that coworker that really pissed you off a piece. That's not what you're thinking about.
What?
No.
Like, life.
Like, you ain't got real shit to think about. You're not thinking about that bill you got to pay. Because that's what I be thinking about. But I mean, let me see if I can budget this shit. That's what go on in my mind. You know what I'm saying? Or dang, I really want to buy this. Nope. I'm not gonna buy this.
Right. Oh damn, the cable. Like, oh, she got cut off. No, can't buy this purse.
Oh god dang, I want this.
Right. It's like things that could be going on in someone's brain. Like, this is right. The best you have.
Right.
There's people out there, like, not for nothing, but Tinder is a thing. Like, if you have a certain preference, I'm sure you can find it with an adult.
I know, right? You ain't never heard of playing dress up, boo.
You can, right. You can't get a bedroom if you have that, but with an adult.
Right.
Who you're basically taking their choice away because their child don't really have choice.
Mm-hmm.
And then you're robbing them of the experience of being in love and having that very first experience with a person that you know, as much as you can think of maybe at a young age, how much in love you are, you know what I mean? You are robbing them of that experience.
Mm-hmm.
'Cause then that's all they're going to know. Like the 'cause there's a violence to it. There's a you are violating somebody.
And could you imagine how confusing? Could you imagine how confusing that is? Even whether it's whether it's opposite sex or same gender, can you imagine how confusing? I just hope that these children, any child that has had to endure any type of abuse, that they really do get some type of assistance dealing with those feelings, and that they do understand that it's not their fault. I think sometimes, even with grown people that's been raped, a lot of times, or I even use, you know, my situation, like physical, like if you ever been physically abused, it's like you take a level of responsibility. And I really hope that these children get the help that they need so that they don't assume any part of any type of responsibility for what happened to them. Because none of it is their fault. None of it. That was somebody else's sick, perverted intentions. And it had nothing to do with anything that they did.
I agree. You mentioned this earlier, and you're talking about it now as far as like therapy is concerned. You know, it is when you have been a victim of any kind of abuse, whether if it's sexual abuse, just physical abuse, emotional abuse, that all, it sticks with you, and there it can create PTSD. Mm. So I agree. I hope that for, you know, parents, or maybe, you know, great aunties, you know, the best auntie you could ever have, you have to be an advocate for the people in your life, or the children in your life, or even the adults in your life who have been the victim of some type of trauma, and encourage them to go to therapy. I'm a big advocate of it. I go to therapy myself. I don't know if I've ever talked about that, but I go to therapy. And for someone who has had trauma, it doesn't matter what kind of trauma it is, but for someone who has had trauma, it can be a lifelong process.
Mm-hmm. It's definitely a journey.
It's definitely a journey, and don't be afraid of it, because you will come out better on the other end, and maybe you won't even need it. But people who have had trauma in their life, therapy is 100% recommended. Yes. And to be frank, in therapy for a long time, if not just for maintenance. Okay? But I would encourage you to encourage those people in your life who maybe have experienced some level of trauma, no matter what it is, encourage them to go to therapy and help them become advocates for themselves in going to therapy. But even more so when it comes to children, because, you know, they didn't have a choice in this. And sometimes folks want to pretend like this shit ain't happening, and they put the secret away like it never fucking happened. You can't. Because when that person becomes an adult, it will rear its ugly ass head. Because you can't just forget those things. You can't just put it away and act like it never happened. Because it will follow you through life. Okay? It'll stick with you through life unless you address it.
That is so profound. And it's so very true. A lot of times, not a lot of times, but I've had experiences, or I have firsthand knowledge of when certain things just was not talked about. They knew that it happened. They knew that it took place, but it was just not talked about. You weren't allowed to discuss those things. I definitely grew up in that era. I definitely grew up and know about that. Like, we don't discuss that. They know what happened. They know what took place. But it's not talked about. And it makes you suppress and ignore things that you really need to tackle and deal with. So I definitely can relate to that aspect of it, where people just didn't, they didn't talk about it. It wasn't talked about. It was swept under the rug. It wasn't discussed. It was their way of not dealing with it, or being able to deny that it happened, maybe. Like, it's like one of those situations where if you just ignore it, that means it didn't happen. And that is a really unhealthy way to deal with stuff. And I can tell you from personal experience, ignoring it doesn't mean that it didn't happen. And ignoring it actually just makes it harder to really move forward. So addressing it and therapy and getting that reassurance that, hey, this ain't you. This is not your fault. This is definitely the other person.
What better way to show your kids that you are an advocate for them? What's the best way to do that would be a shit under the rug. And do something about it. I don't want to say make sure that person pays for what they did, but I kind of do mean it. Whatever you can do within your power, and I'm not saying resorting to violence, okay? I'm not an advocate for that. But what I am saying, do what you can within your power to bring that person to accountability or to justice for what they've done. Because you have to be an advocate for your kids after the fact, but you also have to be an advocate for your kids before it even happened, right? Wherever you can, however you can. Let's not sleep on these soccer coaches, like with Mr. Campos here, or the other people in your life. Like, don't sleep on them. Look at, like, between or R. Kelly or Michael Jackson. I do not care. We talked about this. I don't care how fun you think this shit is. There's no fucking way I'm letting my kid go sleep over at this big ass motherfucking mansion.
Right. Right.
I don't
right.
care who you
are. Right.
Money you have. I can't right. be bought. And my kids can't be bought. I don't give a fuck.
Right.
They're not for sale.
I agree.
For people like that, they use, sorry, I don't want anyone trying to buy my car because I'm saying this, okay? But people, it doesn't matter what race you are, they will use their influence and their money to influence you and the choices you make with your kids. Okay? Because that's just one example. You look at R. Kelly. Wow. Look at what happened with the girls that he was abusing. The parents, were they sleeping? I don't know. But somehow your kid was left alone. And the fact of the matter is, even like just using with R. Kelly specifically, it wasn't just him. It was everyone who was around him who was protecting
his family. I mean, helped him. Absolutely.
Because that's the other piece, right? How many people in that person's circle, or the abuser's circle of friends, acquaintances, they all know that shit is happening, but they don't do anything about it. Why? Because they're helping you to pay your fucking bills. Case in point, R. Kelly. Case in point, Michael Jackson. Now, y'all don't pull my card, but I mean it. If I sound angry, it's because I am, because these are grown-ass men. One was, I guess it was just, it was an allegation of it, but I do not care if he was never convicted and found guilty, okay? I don't care. There's no reason why you should let your kid have a sleepover with a grown-ass man, period. I don't give a fuck how much money he has.
one way to help? Will it always work? No. But one thing that I've learned to do, and something that I do, and my kids will tell you, like, to the point where my son is like, you know, he definitely lets me know. I talk to them. I definitely take time with my kids. I always have, and I've always explained to them do's and don'ts. People can't touch you here. You shouldn't touch anybody else there. There's no such thing as secrets when it comes to that. Not from, you know, not, you don't keep secrets from your mother or your father. If you don't feel comfortable with going to your mother, then go to your father. Depending on, you know, who you feel comfortable with. But definitely, and that's something that I tell my kids, like, if you don't feel comfortable coming to me, then you can go to your father. But you have to go to somebody if anybody is making you feel uncomfortable. And I let them know that sometimes it's really not even the physical touching part, because me and you definitely talked about this before, the whole grooming part of it. Mm-hmm. The whole sometimes inappropriate, where they're trying to make you feel comfortable with the conversation and where the conversation is going and stuff like that. And these are the things that I talk to my kids about in hopes that they will know what to do. And I'm not saying that because of that, they can't be subject to being victimized. I'm not saying that. But what I am saying is I try to combat that by talking to them and letting them know what to do, what not to do, how to address it. And I don't know how much of a difference, you know, I don't. But in my mind, I feel like it's a step in the right direction by discussing those things with them, discussing drugs, discussing sex, discussing good and bad, but of course on their level. Like, I'm not going to go to my youngest son and have the same type of conversation that I would with my older son, of course. It definitely has to be age appropriate, but it does have to be to where they know, you know? Does that make sense?
And that brought up a very important thing, because this is something I say with our youngest. I'm like, we don't keep secrets. And I never speak to it. How I phrase it is, we don't keep secrets because if this is how your parents will know how to help you. Mm-hmm. That's how I present it. Like, I don't speak to it in a particular, like, towards any particular topic. I just present it like, look, we don't keep secrets, right? If you don't tell us what's going on, we don't know how to help you. But if you tell us what's happening, then we know how to help you better. I kind of talk like I present it that way, but that's one of the things that these predators do. Mm-hmm. They manipulate you. Yeah, they'll manipulate someone.
Yep.
To, oh well, don't tell your parents. You know, this is just our special secret.
Yeah.
But they'll manipulate someone so that we do hold the secret. You keep the secret, and that's so important to encourage your children to not keep secrets and not hold things away from you, even if they think it's silly or stupid. Just tell me anyway, right?
Right.
Because I don't know how much that can go towards prevention, but, you know, even the most careful parent, you're like, you can't protect your kids from everything, right? Because, like, when they're in school, right? I'm just using that as an example. you're not there with them. In some cases, you can't even go inside the school. I can't. They're like, you at the door. You can't come in.
It's true.
Like, you can't be with them
20. Get an appointment.
That's like, you come here. Who are you here to pick up? Oh, give me your ID and stand right there in that little cubicle. That's all I get. You can't be with them 24/7. Right? So you have to have these conversations at home to help. Because you can't prevent everything, right? Because you are not with them 24/7. And you're going to, I've come to understand that your kids are going to have a whole life outside of home when they're in school that you will have no understanding of, okay? Or you will be somewhat clueless about unless they're telling you, mm-hmm. right? And like the youngest, he'll tell me certain things and he'll tell his daddy certain things, but some, and we get the whole story between the two of us kind of thing, right? Okay, got it. It's actually pretty funny. but encouraging them to be vocal about what's happening, that will really help. Even if it's, because we can be, like I said, we can be as diligent as we can and try to protect them as much as we can, but there will be times when they are what? Not in front of, in your care. When they're in school, they are not in your care, because let's be, teachers abuse children too. I don't have any examples in front of me, but please let's not pretend that that can't happen. So having that constant communication is so important, because it's, even if you're unable to prevent it because of circumstances, you can at least help get it addressed pretty fucking quickly. At least that should be the goal anyway.
Right. So Tanya, with all of that being said and everything that we discussed, the coach and the Jehovah Witnesses, the pastors, the different organizations that have abused authority, what is the takeaway from this? What is the conclusion?
I think we have to be paying attention to our kids. We really have to be on our shit and be like, pay attention to them and looking for things when maybe they're not, maybe they're be moving a little bit different. Mm-hmm. And talking to them, having constant communication.
Right. Right.
Something's different. I don't know what it is. I'm just trying to find this, what this is. And even if you can't, it's parents. Sometimes shit happens, right? Sometimes parents can get wrapped up in their own shit because we all got our own shit. Sometimes we can be doing things. And this is not us, me saying you're a bad parent. But even if you don't have the tools how to address things yourself, there are tools for you. Between counseling, therapy, there's some organizations, I think RAIN, I don't know if I'm saying that right. They can help you kind of look for some signs of maybe there is potential, you know, abuse, or maybe something's changed in a child's life, like what to look for.
Right.
Open your eyes a little bit, because I think that's the biggest takeaway, right? We got to be paying attention to our kids. You know, if they're moving different, we got to figure out what that is and talking with them, but regularly, not on a superficial level.
I agree.
Prevent it even from happening, like, oh, my coach is telling me that I shouldn't tell you these things. Wait, what?
Mm-hmm. That's definitely an indicator. Yes.
You know, I think that's the biggest takeaway. What was it for you?
Pretty much the same. Just paying attention to any change in behaviors. If you know that normally you have this outgoing kid that loves sports or loves the arts or anything in particular, and now all of a sudden those things are not as fun or interesting, or they're more introverted and they're withdrawn, that's definitely something to pay attention to. Pay attention to how they act around people. Sometimes there's an unspoken type of understanding. I don't know if I'm explaining that well, but like you said, pay attention to your kids, and definitely open that door for that talk. Open that door for that, like you said, that communication. Let them know that it is safe to come to you or to your significant other. Let them know that they have that safety net. You know? Because if they don't feel safe with it, they're not going to. They're not going to come to you with that. So definitely open up that door and let them know that they do have that, that you are that outlet, that you're available for that, that that's what you're there for, in addition to all the other things that you have to be there for them. But that is very important, that you can be that person that they can come and talk to and know we don't have secrets. My oldest daughter, to this day, there is nothing that she will not discuss with me. And it makes her fiance feel very uncomfortable. But hey, your problem, not mine. That's my kid. And that's what she says. She says that to him. She's like, hey, she had me. And look, if you can't talk to your parents about it, then it's something wrong. It's something wrong there. And so let's let them parents know, let your kids know, hey, come to me. If you want to learn about sex, if you want to learn about this, if you want to learn about that, drugs, sex, whatever, please come to me. Don't leave that up to their friends. Or in some of these cases, people that you think you can trust. I trust God. Everybody else is suspect.
So parents, please know, we're not trying to come down on you, but we're parents too, and we just think that maybe we could be a little bit more proactive about paying attention to the people in our circle that are involved in our children's lives and just making sure that we're paying attention. There is a really great article on rain.org. And RAINN is spelled RAINN.org. And there's an article here that does talk about some of the signs that an adult may be hurting a child. It's pretty lengthy, so I don't think it would be necessarily fair to kind of go through it during the episode. But the name of the article is Signs That an Adult May Be Hurting a Child. And it's from www.rainn.org. /articles/warning-signs-young-children. That's part of the link, but if you do a search for rain.org, I bet you that they have tons of resources, and they also have an 800 number at 800-656-HOPE, and looks like you can get help 24/7. So please, you know, don't feel like you're going through this alone. There are resources for you to maybe help you guide you through having this type of conversation, because obviously it's a hard one. But yeah, let's just be proactive with our kids and talk with them, not superficially, really talk to them.
Absolutely.
Their lives.
Absolutely. Yeah. I agree. And, you know, why I want to just speak to what you were saying earlier, like before we actually got on the air, that if there is any professionals that would like to come on to Oust Now pro bono, yep. we ain't there yet, but would like to volunteer to tell us and parents and just people in a community what to look for and ways that we can be safer from a professional aspect, please, by all means, reach out to us, because we are definitely open for it, and we will actually appreciate it, to be honest.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yes, please send us a message, DM us, send us a voicemail from our website. Thank you so much for listening to this episode. We really appreciate you guys who take time from your busy days and schedules to take time to listen to us and our humble little podcast. We appreciate it. Yeah.
Thank you, everybody. We appreciate y'all very much.
Hey, Ousters. It's Tanya here from Oust Now Podcast. I just wanted to take a moment to remind you that there are resources if you suspect or someone you know may be a victim of sexual abuse. You can call 1-800-656-HOPE. Again, 1-800-656-HOPE. Or you can go to RAINN.org, and that's www.RAINN.org. There are quite a few articles there that may help if you feel like you may have a suspicion of someone you know that they may be a victim of sexual assault or abuse. There's some articles there that you can read. Again, that's www.RAINN.org, or call 1-800-656-HOPE. Thank you for listening.